Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. Yeah, I'm sure you're wondering why you're not seeing Emmanuel here today. Well, I'm taking his role for today.
I pity you.
So I'll be filling his shoes, and you know, they're actually really big shoes, literally. Not because he has big legs, like I have really small legs. So we also have someone new joining us, but as usual, we have Ting Bozirim. Introduce yourself, please. I already said your name, but
why do I not introduce myself after you've said my name?
All right. Let me allow the other person to introduce themselves.
Hi. My name is Samuel. What else am I supposed to say?
Anything.
My role.
Where do you live? State of origin.
What's interesting. My address. My ATM pin.
Genotype. Okay.
Yeah, my name is Samuel. I do marketing stuffs.
Okay.
Here at TechPoint.
Are you glad to be here? Are you happy to be
here?
Yeah,
it's exciting. I've always observed from behind the scenes, so it's nice to be in front.
Yes, it's also nice to be, you know, to be where Emmanuel usually sits, but I'm realizing how difficult the job is. It's not as easy as, you know, big ups to Emmanuel. It makes it look very easy. But yeah. So even though Emmanuel is not here today, you know, we'll try and, you know, keep things alive and as interesting as they usually are. So like we usually do, we are talking about, you know, tech stories from all around Africa. And sometimes those outside Africa but somehow affect us. For example, Threads, right? Threads is the new platform by Meta that's supposed to rival Twitter. They had a very big launch. I think just 5 hours after the launch, they had like 30 million signups. And then after 5 days, they had over 100 million signups. I mean, that was really huge. Yeah, but I think the momentum has slowed because we recently heard that daily active users have dropped by, I think, 20%. When was the last time you opened your Threads app, Samuel?
It's been days. And even this week, I don't think I've opened this more than 3 times.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Jim Bazaar.
I think that'll be Friday when we're discussing it at Pitch Friday.
Mad. So, but you open Twitter every day?
Okay. I think almost every day, yes.
So what's the issue? I think the thing was just, you know, it blew up because people were like, oh, let's see what's in this new. And then I think there was something about, I think I wrote an article recently about the whole thing, and I think Meta took advantage of the situation, like what was going on at that point. People were kind of like mad at Elon Musk for some reason, you know, the limiting how many posts you can see in a day. So many other things that people were mad about. And do you really think, you know, Threads can, you know, take users away from Twitter? Is that something you think can happen? Based on how you use Threads, how you use both Threads and Twitter.
Can they take users away from Twitter? So, by the way, we had this discussion on Friday, which Friday. And personally, I don't use a lot of social media platforms. So, except you're giving me something entirely different, I don't use a lot. So, for example, I probably opened my first Twitter account around maybe 2012, 2013.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
But I did not actively start using Twitter until 2019.
I opened in 2019. I started using actively in, I think, 2021.
So spent like 10 years when I barely ever used, like maybe 2 times in a month, just go check. So some people say it's a learning curve, but I've discovered that I personally can't handle more than one social media platform properly. So even Instagram. So I have an Instagram account that I barely use. Maybe there are some people that I know that's the place they post a lot. So I just go there, I check. So except there are maybe similar cases where there's a reason why I'm going to Threads. Like I'm not following you on... Okay, so for some people, if you really want to follow them, you have to go to Facebook. Twitter is not it for them. So if that's the case, possibly. But taking me away from Twitter now would be really hard.
I mean, same here. I like the Twitter bans, even though it gives me a headache. You know, the violence, everything. Sometimes you just be on there for some time and just...
It's already familiar. So
exactly. So it will take Threads some time to... And they are not just competing with Twitter, they are competing with everybody, because you need for people to actually stay on your platform, you need to, like, I mean, you are driving them from TikTok, TikTok that, like, gets an average of, I mean, keeps people for, like, 1 hour, right? So, well, I'm wishing Meta all the best, wishing Zuckerberg all the best, and yeah. So, let's go to what we have to talk about today. The first is, you know, we are talking about Zuckerberg's rival, Elon Musk. Yes, he has taken Starlink to Kenya. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Yeah. who got Starlink first in Africa? I think it was Nigeria.
I think so.
Yeah. Nigeria got it. I mean, it's not a competition, but...
It is in a way. I mean, we need every win we can take right now.
Now Starlink is in Kenya. But the interesting thing about the story is, you know, at this time when Starlink is now in Kenya, it's actually now as competition in Kenya, right? Safaricom is also launching something similar. And then it's launching it, interestingly, it's not launching it in conjunction with Starlink's rival, like direct competitor in the US. The name is, one second, like I said, Emmanuel's work is hard.
AST Space Mobile.
Exactly. Thank you very much. All right. So the thing with this AST is they're actually doing something remarkably different from what Starlink is doing. So the normal thing with Starlink is that when you buy Starlink, you get all the gear, the router, everything, and then you connect. So you can only use Starlink when you're at home, right? But what AST is doing is they found a way for mobile phones to use satellite internet. So you stay connected via mobile, and they're actually the first company to do this, right? So It's big competition. I mean, that's basically because if you look at Africa's history when it comes to internet connection, right? It didn't really get that deep until mobile phones came in. Like, the times when we had to use dial-up connection. I don't know if you people are young, so you don't know dial-up connection.
Okay.
I mean, that was the way internet connection worked before, right? With computers, right? But in Africa, we didn't see that much penetration until mobile phones also started connecting to internet. So I think Starlink has their work cut out for them in Kenya, right? Because I mean, if I can do Starlink, normal Starlink, I can now connect to my phone, which is basically what EST is doing. That is a total game changer. What do you guys think? You think Starlink can survive AST? It's something as innovative.
How are they doing? How is AST doing in the US?
Very good question. Very good question. And I will reiterate how difficult Emmanuel's job is.
In other words, you don't know.
But really, if it would depend on how much progress they've made. Well, there's a Elon Musk hype, but maybe there's a reason why we don't hear them a lot. Mm. But really, if AST isn't doing like remarkably well in the US, where there are more smartphones, and there are more smartphones basically, if it's not doing very well there, then I'm not holding out hope that it would be much of a game changer in Kenya. So yes, Kenya has like really good smartphone or mobile phone penetration, but I mean, it's not like they're just competing. Does the average African care about satellite internet? We don't. What we
well,
really want is
well, do we do, okay? Yes, it is, right? Satellite internet has a lot of potential in Africa, especially for places where they are not connected yet. They can be connected easily. But the argument now is how those people who don't have that connectivity, the thing is they can't afford Starlink. So, right. But Starlink has the potential to connect them, right? Because those places where MTN, Airtel, Glo cannot reach, Starlink can be there. Right?
But then those people can't afford Starlink.
That's the
issue. It's basically a chicken and egg situation that they call it. They need Starlink, but they can't afford it.
But I think I've been seeing a couple of tweets, maybe from people who it's already available. Like Starlink is already available in Kenya, right? I think from some people who have already gotten to
use it,
and it's very similar to what happened, like in the early days when it launched in Nigeria, and obviously the people who could afford it will rush to get it, thinking it would replace the MTN and the likes, and then all the reviews that were coming back were that okay, it's your regular network may actually even perform better, and like you said, it is more beneficial to in regions where there's no connectivity, but then you now have this problem where these people
can't afford
those services.
Yeah, so I mean, it's that's a very interesting thing that you brought up. I remember when Starlink first got to Nigeria, and you know, we saw the reviews where people were saying, yeah, it's fast, you know, things like that. But I think it was Fisayo that said it was not good for uploading because it was really slow. So his MTN 5G was actually better. Right, you get to some places. I think I've been to places in Lagos where I'm getting up to over 100 megabytes per second speed, and Starlink. I think Starlink in Nigeria right now, it won't give you more than 250. I think it won't give you more than that. So, but some of the people I spoke to, they actually prefer it over the normal mobile network that we have now. Are people who live in, like, I know a guy. You know, so this tech bro that just likes to stay in all these secluded places and like do their work. So he says it's good for him because where he is, the network isn't that good. So Starlink is like awesome for him. So this, I think that it's probably going to be a key selling point for AST, right? AST Space Mobile. That's the company Safaricom is working with to provide satellite internet. So it's going to be a huge selling point for them if I can afford, if they can make it affordable enough, that's because you can already use it with your mobile phone, right? That eliminates the cost of getting a lot of things Starlink wants to give you. Starlink wants to give you the dish, they want to give you the router, all those things. So definitely cost is coming down, right? So
okay, will this one not necessarily need all those setups before you can?
I mean, it's connecting directly to my mobile phone.
Okay.
So it may not need all the setup. Okay. Right. So,
well,
I mean,
Safaricom is also a telco, and they're also a telco. So they already have the experience of operating in Kenya, and I believe if they're going to be doing this, they have a plan already for getting as many users as possible. So, while cost would be an issue, it would, I mean, they probably have a plan. So, we would see how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes. I'm actually seeing that
from
the article that Victoria wrote. I think it would actually still have the router and the dish and all of that. But the use case I'm seeing, since, I mean, it's already established who this product is beneficial to. Right. So it may be a situation where maybe in a community, I don't know how many devices one of those things should be able to connect, but like maybe in those communities, maybe like a school or a hospital or something like that, they can collectively set up one of these devices that is able to connect the whole place, as opposed to individual users just trying to set it up for their personal use. So I think that's a use case that makes more sense.
Yeah, definitely. And just, you know, on a final note, beyond, you know, speed, connectivity and things like that, I mean, a lot of people have said Starlink, they don't even have like really a dedicated customer service, right? So I think competition is necessary for all those things to start falling into place. So, I mean, if they start seeing competition, maybe, you know.
Improve it.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah? Yeah, maybe. All right. Yeah, so enough about Elon Musk, Starlink, and internet. Let's move to the next thing we are on this podcast to talk about. And Tim Gozerim will be doing us the honors of talking about... Why are you laughing? All right. So Tim Gozerim will be talking to us about Uber and Bolt's recording feature. So... we've had cases of, you know, people being harassed by their drivers or drivers being harassed by their riders. And I think these ride-hailing companies have, you know, in a bid to, like, keep both drivers and riders safe, they've introduced what they call a recording feature. And, yeah, Tim Gozerim, how does it work? What does it mean for me now?
Well, so we don't have all the details about how it works.
Okay.
But it just raises a lot of questions. So we'll get to that later. But basically, Bolt and Uber. Uber launched theirs, I think, in the last 1 week. If you update your app right now, either your Bolt or Uber app, you would see an audio recording. Like, there's something like, I call it an ad.
But there's like prompt.
A prompt or a notification that, okay, we've got audio recording now. So you would see the same thing on both Uber and Bolt. And the idea behind it is, like you mentioned, to reduce safety or to reduce incidents where riders or drivers get hurt during trips. Mm-hmm. So for Bolt, we are told that it can only be turned on during trips. So after trips, you can't have the audio recording feature. Mm. But for Uber, it's not yet very clear whether it's going to be turned on only during trips or after trips, or whether I can leave.
If you need it after a trip, will it be necessary?
Yeah, so maybe for the driver, a driver can leave it on throughout his trip. But, I mean, assuming that's a provision, but we are not yet very clear on whether that's the case. So you can always check on your Uber or Bolt app for that.
Mm.
So yes, that's in
use. So will this really solve, like, will it really protect people?
Well, like, that's a big question. Will it? So it's more of a preventive preventive solution. So what you're looking to do with this is people complain, and sometimes it's your word against the driver's word.
Mm.
And there's only so much you can do in that case when it's two people trading words. So now you have, like, evidence. So if I make a claim, because we've seen cases where a driver is accused of harassing a client, and the driver comes out to say, no, I didn't harass you. You were the one who harassed me, or you were the one who was being disrespectful, and I responded. We've seen a lot of cases like that, and had drivers share their experiences. And in a case where it's your word against my word, it's just messy. Because if I'm the one who is having to mediate, I just leave the two of you to fight. Because it doesn't make any sense for me to try to decipher who's telling me the truth, who's lying, who has more incentive to lie, and all of that. So
now we have a recording.
Now we have a feature that, at the very least, does that. But it also throws up a lot of other questions. So we've had cases where safety issues were reported, or users claim to have reported safety issues or concerns to Uber or Bolt. But when that happened, nothing was done, right? Nothing at all was done. Some of them were directed to go to the police. In cases where it was either a robbery or a rape, we've had them being told to go to the police that this is a matter that they cannot handle. So this means if you're going to be redirecting them to a third party to do the work of maybe getting some resolution, then I don't know, would people trust this? Although, to be fair, it also means it could help the government, help the security agencies to do their work.
Yeah.
It would no longer be your word versus my word. You would have some evidence for that. So that's one one way it could solve the problem. There's also the possibility that the data, we don't know how the data would be used. So on Uber, it says that you and the driver have the ability to record your trip.
Okay.
But you and Uber only accesses this recording if you ask them to maybe review an incident. If you report an incident and say they can review it, that's the only time they can, that they can access this audio. But interestingly enough, whether you ask them to review or not, you cannot access the audio. So
I can't hear what was recorded.
Exactly. You can't hear what was recorded. You basically don't know what happened, assuming you forgot a lot of the details that took place. So except you just can't, like, you don't have access to all of that.
And I wonder what's the rationale behind that was.
Well, I haven't gotten a response from Bolt or Uber yet, but I'm trying to think about what the rationale could be, because I still can't find any.
I mean, there could be a couple of things. So it's tricky because it could go either way.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm not speaking for them. I don't know how they're running it, but I'm assuming. Imagine I'm able to get access to the audio after a trip.
Okay.
And I have some like nefarious intention. I can actually go and manipulate the audio.
It's the same thing I said. But I think Jim was even pointed out that immediately after the recording, I think it's already uploaded. They already have their own like version of the recording. So even if you're able to like download yours and then manipulate it, it doesn't really, you know, change anything.
But I mean, whichever way, I think any safety measure, whether it's to prevent or it's just something to ensure you can get justice after an incident,
it's
definitely welcome. Because
it is.
My only concern is, I mean,
how much of an impact does it
plus?
That's
definitely
it's a step up. Yeah. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
it's a step.
So it's one thing for you to bring up a solution, it's another thing for that solution to actually do what it's intended to do. Because, for example, for you to do this, you have to do some education to let people know that, okay, we've got this. Of course, there's a work that the media does in helping people know. But in the heat of the moment, so of course people are crazy these days. You have an altercation and your first instinct is to whip out your phone to make a video of that. People do that a lot. But we don't always see that. I don't know. So except the cases that give the presence of mind to maybe bring out your phone, press the record button. And really, if I know as a driver that you are, because it's not an automatic record function, or at least for both says it's not automatic. But if it's not an automatic record function, I can stop you from recording.
Well, from what I understand, is like the trip is about to start. I hear the prompt, like, do you want to record?
Yeah, so it depends on the messaging you're looking at. So both makes it look like the two of them make it look like you only do this when you feel you're in danger, because really I don't want to be recording every trip that takes place. I don't want my conversations to always be, I don't know, recorded somewhere, even though maybe when I make calls, that happens already.
Quick question, is this feature like already live?
Yeah, so I checked today and I saw it on Uber. I haven't taken a trip since I saw the news, so I haven't tested it out.
Yeah, because I think test it, we'll just be speculating on a lot of these things.
Yeah.
So it could be a situation where even if it's mid, like you're already on the trip, you could actually still go and start.
Simon, do you feel like going to the island today?
Definitely.
Maybe you test it out.
I'll try it out.
Well, I'm supposed to.
You just go and come back.
Okay. So I guess I can
try
it out.
And
yeah.
Let's see a review or something.
I can try it out
you
tomorrow.
You can book it right now. You just leave.
You can try it out tomorrow. This is why one of you.
Funny enough, I had a dream. I had a dream that on the podcast, someone was on the podcast, booked a ride, right? The ride came, he left.
Prophet.
Why you having such dreams? Are you? I don't know. Was it close to like 5 a.m., 6 a.m.?
I don't even know.
I don't know you had the dream.
I don't know when. It was in the night side. Somewhere around between 12 a.m. and...
I still don't get the dream. We're sleeping. Yeah?
Mm.
And
I dreamt that we're on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Someone on the podcast carried their phone. Book ride. Ride came.
Not you seeing the future.
Left.
Yeah, anyway.
All right. Yeah, so...
You're keeping your prayers.
Interesting stuff. I hope it really helps people because, you know, we've heard some really... really grim cases, right? So the next thing we are talking about now has to do with pasta, right? You're probably wondering, what are we talking about pasta inside tech podcast? Well, it's not pasta per se. We're talking about macaroni, Mr. Macaroni, having issues with
can you draw a link between pasta and
his name is Macaroni. Macaroni is pasta now.
Girls,
you not get the joke. Come on.
I don't know. I think it's a reflection.
It's not only spaghetti that's pasta.
You start getting this thing, so you don't mistakenly drag people on Twitter.
Drag them for what?
Come on, drag me.
No, it's a reflection of people's sense of humor, man. Because I could not
it's
get
your
it.
Sense of humor that is broken. No, you are the only person that did not get it.
thank God, it's not only me. And
pasta.
That's how I'll be thinking to myself. Like, is something wrong with you?
Something is wrong with you. You don't need.
Please write on.
All right. So, Mr. Macaroni is having issues with Nigeria's advertising agency Akon, and they've sanctioned one of his videos. The video was an ad about the General Bitters, a particular product, right? And they are saying he did not get... am I getting this right? I think you have more info on Daniels.
Okay, so I'm still trying to get the specific ad that they're referring to because we've seen a lot of the General Bitters ads that Mr. Macaroni was featured in.
Okay, he has still not taken it down. It's actually on his socials. I sent you the link.
Yeah, I saw the link. I know. So I saw it, and I'm just curious because that's not the only the General Bitters ad we've seen.
Mm.
But he has an ad on Instagram that Akon, that's the Advertising Regulatory Council, I believe, of Nigeria, says that first it didn't receive any approval before it was published. And it wasn't vetted. So if you recall, a few months back, Akon came out with these regulations or guidelines that were supposed to guide the way content creators, marketers, basically anyone who puts out marketing or advertising content on the internet works. So one of the things is that your ad has to be vetted before it goes live. And Macaroni looks like one of the first casualties of this. He has been directed to take down the ad, which is still on his platform. And that's interesting. I've reached out to his team. Hopefully I get the response. But he's been directed to take down that ad. And Akon says it was of a sexual nature, which is true. There were sexual innuendos now that were used in the ad. So that could be one of the reasons why they flagged it. And why this is interesting to me is that we've had a lot of people put up ads. I've personally seen a lot of ads from influencers in the last 1 month. So what was it about this ad that made them ask that it be taken down? So one reason could be the sexual nature of the ad, but it could also be the kind of product that was being advertised. So the General Bitters is supposed... Well, the idea the ad gives off is that this is like a sexual performance enhancer. And it's even though it's sexual performance enhancer, it also has to do with your health. So it could be that Akon wants ads like this to be vetted. But if you remember...
Sorry, but I just want to chip in that that's not the only bit that has been advertised online.
Yes.
Advertises Odogwu Bitters almost every day on Instagram, and her ads have not been flagged.
Well, yes, There's that. Like I said, a lot of people have run ads on social media in the last 2 to 3 months since Akon came out with their guidelines, and we've not gotten a public notice as well. So we do not know whether they are getting notices in the background or something, but this is the only one we are seeing that was on social media. So it's not yet clear what has happened, because they issued the response towards the end of last week, and so far we haven't gotten, the ad hasn't been taken down. We haven't seen any rejoinder. I mean, to be fair, when I checked the Akon's Twitter, the page is bare. They just have posts, there's a lot of gap. So it doesn't look like something they use a lot. They don't necessarily have a website. I don't know how they're operating, but they don't really have a website. It could be the reason why we haven't been seeing a lot of this. But
they probably need funding.
Yeah, someone was also saying that this could be...
So part of the reason is because... So recently, Akon, they just recently became Akon. They were Apcon. And there's a lot of history behind the reason, behind them being sort of dormant. So the Nigerian advertising space has not really had a lot of regulations in terms of the body that's supposed to regulate doesn't have that much power to actually regulate some of these advertisements that are being put on, you know, on the internet and all of that. They had for people that were actually members of their body. So if you were part of Apcon, that was their former name, they could actually regulate you and all of that. So you had to have a license, you have to be approved by the body and all of that. But now, with the whole online and all of that, I think they even had, at some point, someone sued them. I can't remember the name of the case. Someone sued them and they were told that once you're not a member of Apcon, you can't do it. They can't do anything against you. So that's what everybody was holding on to until recently they had the new law. And now they have... So that's the thing. We don't even know if they actually have that power because we've not seen the law, because they refuse to put the law online. But that's a story for another day. But there's a lot of
this act,
history.
They throw around, trial.
Yes.
Like they throw in one act.
Yes, they throw it around, but we've never actually seen it. There's probably a physical copy if you go to a court or something, but...
A law for digital... So, Samuel, you had the... social media. What does it really make sense to like start vetting ads? Does it make sense? Is it possible? Like, how many ads even go out? Like, how many videos, all these kids that are ads go out like on a daily basis? How many does Akon, that their website is not even complete yet, want to vet?
Do you get my initial reaction? I mean, this whole stuff started, it was not like December of 2022. Mm-hmm. That was when we started hearing a lot of things about. Initially, I just never even took it seriously because it's like, okay, one of these people trying to, one of these bodies trying to seek relevance again and stuff. Then over time, the whole renaming themselves, and then they now have an act that is backing up their actions and everything. I think initially was okay. At the point, the questions I just had was like, how practical is this? Okay. How practical it is this? How many ads or skits do you want to keep track of? Do you even have like the? Or let's assume maybe they are tech enabled and they have a system that flagging is based on maybe some keywords or some things being displayed, which I really doubt if they do. But like, how do you actually want to keep track of this to be able to like enforce this at scale? Or is it a matter of you just want to fish out some scapegoats every now and then? What is the motivation behind it? Is it because you just want to make some extra money and all of that? That's on one hand, right? But when you actually look at it, on the other hand, kind of see why something like this may be necessary, because quite frankly, a lot of the content that gets that you see online like leaves you asking questions. Yeah. So let's even talk about the maybe on the small creator that nobody knows, or just individuals doing stuff on their personal pages. But like, there are some organizations that like in this case now, the General Beaters, right, is a registered organization, and then they're trying to do an advert. And if they were going to do that advert on a billboard, right, they likely would have had to pay gone through the vetting and pay some fees and all of that. But doing it on social media, maybe they kind of got to bypass that. Mm-hmm. And then the contents, like they are putting out and everything, I mean, a lot of these things are subjective. So some people, they're like, there's no big deal about it. But I guess these bodies are the ones that get to determine, like, okay, since this is something going to the mass audience, how do we make sure that it is safe enough for everybody, regardless of maybe age and all of that? So in a way, you can see why, okay, it may be necessary to keep an eye on some of these things, especially for the people who actually have this influence, who have a large following, reach and all of that. But at the same time, you're also looking at it and like, how practical is it, and so on,
So,
to chip in, is now, on that question, is this a matter of ads now? They just want to keep track of advertising content, like advertisements and stuff, or generally, even if I'm doing a skit organically?
Well, they are the advertising council, so I'm guessing their focus is on any content at all that advertises a product.
Okay.
So that's it. But to what you are saying, so it's interesting. Yesterday, I think, I saw one story. I think the UK making moves to regulate content marketing.
Interesting.
So, you know, content marketing is supposed to fly under the radar. You're not supposed to know it's content marketing. But now they want to regulate it. So, I mean, we're always bashing Nigerian agencies, but really, what could be the reason behind this? But more to our own situation now. I think it makes sense. I think last time we had this conversation was when we were hearing that, okay, this was what they wanted to do. We've not heard a lot since then, but yes, I think it's necessary to regulate ads that go on social media platforms. I think it's necessary, mainly because those ads are done to influence buying decisions. And you don't want people getting influenced to buy things that hurt them, whether it's financially or health. You don't want people getting that, even being misled. Mm. So that's important. But
sorry to cut you short. So I just quickly went on one of these influencers' page to like look at one of their ads. And so it's interesting because these policies and regulations are even stricter in some countries. I think in most European countries, they're actually very strict. Some of these countries, as a content creator, no matter how big or small you are, you should not post an ad that is an advert. Like, post a content that is an advert that is with the purpose of influencing buyer decision without labeling it clearly.
Yeah, it's called full disclosure.
That it is an ad. So I'm just saying this, and this is so clearly an ad. I mean, I can spot that it's an ad, but there was no hashtag ad, or even Instagram even makes a provision for you to tag your video as paid partnership or paid content, and there's nothing like that. So a gullible or an unassuming person rather may not know that this has been paid for.
Yeah, and there was a situation like that in the US where I think it was Kim Kardashian was talking about one cryptocurrency like that for people to invest in, and then they invested and then they lost money. And they looked at the ad and they were like, okay, you didn't tell people that it was an advert, that you got paid for it. I think some countries even say you must tell us how much were you paid. So if I know how much you were paid, I know how much you are willing to sell me nonsense because they paid you good money.
I imagine
and she was paid $1 million for the...
Right. Imagine with things like health-related stuff for this. Everybody that's selling one serious. Organic tea or the other.
Even finance.
Slimint.
I don't know if you guys have been... So it's been a thing on TikTok lately with this... I don't know if I should mention the name of the brand. There have been a lot of...
We're even going too far. For instance, now she's the brand ambassador for One Health Kini. They are selling waist trainers, slimming tea. dieting programs, like the whole shebang. And what she's telling people is that this is the program she follows to keep her physique. And somebody that we know works out. She does not necessarily need these products, but she's telling her following
lying
that
to us.
This is what she does, and you should do it too. For over... So these things need regulation.
And I think the full disclosure thing is what can actually work. Yeah, because if you want to start vetting, how many people do you want to vet?
No, so what's even interesting is I was trying to do a little research to see if Akon has said, okay, these are the steps you need to take. And I came across an article which I've still been unable to verify everything I saw in the article. But first of all, the council that's supposed to vet these ads, I think they are supposed to sit just twice a month. So if they sit twice a month, that means marketing departments have to, you can't just wake up today and call Mr. Macaroni up and say, Alpha, let's shoot an ad next week, Monday. Because you don't know if it's going to take another 2 weeks before they sit to do that. I mean, because now it don't make any sense for me to go pay you, I don't know, maybe $1 million for an ad. And then when I've paid you, I now get to hear that the ad has been banned or something, or that it wasn't approved. So it sits twice a month. You have to get approval and a license for you to run an ad. Like the whole list of requirements. Of course, you have to pay for all of this, but the whole list of requirements that you have to meet if you're going to have any ad. And I'm just wondering what it means for content creators.
Yeah. And their finances.
No, I don't think it would affect their finances. The money I saw there is something. I mean, here they are charging 800K, 1 million, 500K, 400K.
But will it not reduce what they are capable of doing? I mean, if they have to wait.
So that may be a cost that the advertiser will be.
You'll be
a
yes.
No, I'm even saying if advertisers know that if I come to Mr. Macaroni today, I know that my ad is not going out within the next 2 weeks. Right. Instead of a situation where if I go to Mr. Macaroni today, I get my ad in the next 3 days. Right. Will you not? That means Mr. Macaroni cannot do. If Mr. Macaroni was doing 20 ads in a month, you probably have to cut it down. So will you not reduce Mr. Macaroni would have made monthly?
There's a possibility that happens, but we could also have a situation where the marketing departments who contact them for these jobs now have to work in advance. So you want an ad to go out in June, in August, and you
start from June.
Start making your plans from June.
It's not always very practical. But I think a lot of work has to be done on both ends, from both parties, definitely. Right? So on the end of Akon, there needs to be like clarity on how exactly they operate, what exactly they want, how they want people to, and they also have to structure whatever they are doing to fit realities, like these things you've brought up. And then on the end of the advertisers and also the content creators, there needs to be some level of responsibility and transparency. Right? I think that's just the solution to a lot of these things.
It's occurred to me now that while we have a point with the need to put that paid partnership, we do not exactly prosecute cases quickly in Nigeria. So even if there's a clear disclaimer, if I want to sue someone, it's going to take months for me to get any resolution. So it just makes sense for you to stop nip it in the bud.
I think, I mean, like Samuel said, responsibility from the person doing the ads and Akon finding a better system to do these things. I just remembered Narcissus when Gracious mentioned limiting. I just remember the skit he posted where, you know, he was like kind of making fun of those people that do those videos and they tell you about, you know, the waist trainers and everything. And he said, you know, you have to prepare. If you want to do this thing, you have to first prepare your tissue because you will cry.
it's really scary because with like some of this skincare, you see a lot of people coming out and they're literally showing you how their skin got damaged over time ever since using that product. And these are products that some content creators have advertised as, oh, this is what made me.
Just bath. Bath and rub cream.
Trying to do skincare. You.
All right. Yeah. So I think that's been an interesting conversation so far, but there are some other things that, you know, we cannot talk about at length because Onome is already waving a flag that we should do and come and be going. But it's all right. We're already going. So in other news, Uganda imposes 5% tax on foreign companies, including Netflix, Meta, Google, and Uber. Right. Ethiopia has also ended their 5-month social media ban. Wow, that's long. And Jumia staff in Kenya was able to steal $150,000, thankfully.
thankfully.
Well, I mean, we shall thank God that they found the person and the money. So, thank you so much if you've, you know, listened or watched us all the way to this point. You're an OG. You're a real OG. Thank you so much for that. And I hope I did, you know, a pretty good job, you know, with Emmanuel's, you know, hosting this podcast. Thank you, gracious. I hope I did a pretty good job hosting this podcast. And if Emmanuel asks you, say I did well, even if you think I did not. Put in the comment section that I did fantastic. Right?
Yes, yes.
Please. All right. So, that's all we have for you. Thank you so much to all our subscribers, to our listeners, to people that make comments. We see you, we hear you. For those that also do on social media, really appreciate it. Remember to like, comment, share with your friends, your families, your enemies, everybody, right?
Let them see. Important.
Yes. Very, very important.
So forget them with our podcast.
If you just like to listen and you don't really have time to watch, you can always find us on all your podcast platforms. You can find us on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Hiat Radio, or any other podcast platform, you know. Thank you to my guests for, you know, making this job easy for me.
Yeah. You're welcome.
No thanks to Jingwazi.
Oh.
Special thanks to me. Last minute.
All right. So we have come to the end of the podcast. Have a lovely, lovely rest of your day. Depending on when you're watching this. Yeah.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.